Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. That music can only mean one of many things, actually. You're watching the original Fantastic Four movie, which is terrible, or it's the Daily Caller podcast, or it was used in a couple of television commercials. But if you're hearing my voice, the odds are you're hearing that music because you've listened to the Daily Caller podcast. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Thank you for push and play and downloading and all that stuff and rating and reviewing and sharing with your friends. We're growing because of you. And while I'm thinking about the song, I am often inundated with emails. What is that music? Where is it from? I first heard it from the original Fantastic Four movie. That was a terrible movie. But, you know, that's where it was. They had a little montage, and that was the music in it. It is by an Italian group called Gabin, G-A-B-I-N. And it's called Bang Bang to the Rock and Roll, I think it's called. I think that's the title. A little bit is lost in the translation there. But it's sung in English. It's sort of a nonsensical song, but it's got good music, and you can bop your head to it. It gets your energy pumping. So that is why I like that song. Did I introduce myself? I'm Derek Hunter. I'm the host. Thank you. You can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. If you are trying to enter to win the next signed book contest, please wait. Please wait. I'm getting inundated already with entries, and you're being entered. It's not going to give you any kind of advantage. It just means that it'll get way more complicated than it needs to be. Wait until Friday's show when it's officially announced, and then you can email the heck out of me that you want to win the next signed book. If you don't know which signed book I'm talking about, you got to listen to yesterday's show. So just wait. You'll get your chance. It'll encourage you to keep listening, and then I can't get buried again. I was just buried with contests, and I managed to get all the books out. So I don't want to get buried again and start doubling up week over week over week. I just want to catch up. So if you could hold off, please, I would appreciate it. Just like I appreciate you rating and reviewing on iTunes and sharing the word and spreading and all that good stuff that you guys do for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Tons and tons to talk about, of course, but we got to tip our hats to our great sponsor, Life Change Tea. Yes, let me tell you about Life Change Tea. It is a game changer. I've been drinking Life Change Tea now for about a week, and I've noticed that I'm feeling better already. I can't tell you how much more energy I have, how much more pep in my step. And it's good stuff. It really tastes good. So how does it work? Life Change Tea, it's a proprietary herbal formula. It's a gentle daily cleanse designed to rid your body of harmful intruders. Read into that what you will, but it definitely, definitely works. Let's face it, man, 50, 60, 70 years ago, food was different. It wasn't processed. It wasn't loaded in pesticides. It was nourishing and healthy for our bodies. Today, less so. Let's just leave it at that. Less so. GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, heavy, heavy, heavy processing. They've depleted the nutrition from our food. It's no wonder you feel run down. Try it yourself. Go to getthetea.com. That is getthetea.com. Just one word. Enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout. You get free shipping. I've got the original. It's pretty tasty. You make it up as an iced tea, a gallon at a time. Follow the instructions. Telling you, this stuff works. This cleanse tea works. So follow the instructions. Get that stuff out of you, and then you'll see how much better you feel when you put good stuff into you and you get the bad stuff out of you. It works like a charm. Go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Well, well worth it. Plus, the guy who owns getthetea.com, he's got a YouTube channel. It gives you a bunch of tips on how to live better. Called Health Matters Now, youtube.com/healthmattersnow. You can go check him out too, but definitely go to getthetea.com. Don't forget the promo code Derek at checkout to get free shipping. Plus, you help the show. I appreciate that. All right, let's talk about the news, shall we? Where to start? The president came out yesterday and unequivocally again denounced racism and white nationalism, and shockingly, it still wasn't good enough for the left because they have a narrative. They have a plan. They have an election strategy. Their strategy seems to be, you're a racist, now vote for me. I'm not sure how effective that election strategy will be, but it seemed to work for Barack Obama when Democrats were calling everybody a racist in 2012. He got reelected pretty easily. Of course, he was running against Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney and Donald Trump are two entirely different people. I expect Donald Trump to hit back much harder than Mitt Romney ever kind of slapped back. Like, you stop it up. Binder's full of women. Ew, ew, ew. That was the pushback that you got from the Romney campaign back in 2012. But if you look at the president's statement, it was pretty unequivocal. It wasn't the first time that the president was unequivocal in condemning racism and white supremacy. But to crazy, sniffy, gropey, grabby Uncle Joe Biden, it was the first time he'd ever heard of it. I don't know where they keep Joe, sealed hermetically in a Tupperware container somewhere on the bottom shelf, way in the back. At least that's how he acts. He sat down with Anderson Cooper yesterday for a, it's shocking. I'm not going to play it again. We've played it plenty of times on this show. I played it yesterday on Chris Plant's show. But Anderson Cooper is supposed to be a journalist. He's supposed to be somebody on CNN you take very seriously. In fact, he's not only employed by CNN, he is also a 60 Minutes correspondent. And that is the gold standard in news. 60 Minutes. Oh, if you got a 60 Minutes profile or a 60 Minutes expose, holy Frank Tanana, everything is just the C parts. Everybody takes those seriously. So when you got Anderson Cooper sitting there interviewing the former vice president about Donald Trump, it's all about, everything's about Donald Trump. The world doesn't exist except for Donald Trump to the left. And Joe Biden says once again, the very fine people lie, that president was talking after Charlottesville about the neo-Nazis and he called them very fine people. When Anderson Cooper allows that to go out, either because he doesn't know, which would be complete ignorance on his part, and he'd have to be, there's something wrong with him and he should immediately quit all of his jobs if he didn't watch that press conference and know the truth, that the president unequivocally said that he's not talking. Well, actually, let's just listen to what the president actually said.
So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
There, I said I wasn't going to play it, but I just played a short clip, a short piece of it. Unequivocally, Anderson Cooper, look, Joe Biden's got other things to do, plus he's old. Who knows what the hell he's up to? He's not that bright either, so he may have watched it and it just escaped him. It's also possible that he's fully aware that he's lying. Either case, neither is good. Anderson Cooper, on the other hand, he is supposed to be the arbiter of truth. He is supposed to be the bastion of believability and credibility on CNN and 60 Minutes. He is the hero here in our story. So when he allows the vice president to lie to the audience, he's supposed to be the one there to call him out on it. Yet Anderson Cooper sat silently like a good dog and allowed former Vice President Joe Biden to say this.
And for the first time today, the first time I've ever heard him say he condemns white supremacy, white terrorism.
For the first time today ever, I've ever heard anything. He's a little bit like Snagglepuss there. The first time ever, you see, is what I saw, you see. And Anderson Cooper sat there silently, being a good dog, ready to sniff the throne as soon as Joe Biden got up. Oh, thank you, Mr. Vice President. You're so brilliant, such a sage, so wise beyond your years, which is impossible because he's been around forever. That's a lie. That's a flat-out lie. You can make the case that Joe Biden is wrong. You cannot make the case that Anderson Cooper just didn't know, because it's his job to know. So if Anderson Cooper didn't know, he shouldn't continue to have his job. So is Anderson Cooper complicit or ignorant? But just for gits and shiggles, let's take a stroll down memory lane to a couple of Donald Trump's, including the one I just played for you, a couple of Donald Trump's condemnations, unequivocal, of racism.
What terms do I have to reject? I've rejected David Duke. I've rejected the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. From the time I'm 5 years old, I rejected them.
That was an interview from 2016 with then-candidate Donald Trump. Pretty unequivocal. Joe Biden never heard it, never saw it. Okay, maybe he hasn't, but maybe Anderson Cooper should have.
Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
That was from 2017. So you have 2016, 2017, complete unequivocal condemnations by the President of the United States. But Joe Biden, yesterday was the first time I ever heard it. I do declare, it's just so weird. Kind of weird for a guy who bragged about growing up in a slave state, coming from and representing a slave state, to talk about not rejecting racism. It's kind of weird to have the guy who said, we're going to put you all back in chains, as the arbiter of what is and isn't acceptable in discourse in the United States. But hey, that's Joe Biden. He's never heard this before. Anderson Cooper should have. It's his job. And if he hadn't, he should quit. He should be embarrassed. He should at least apologize to his audience. He won't do any of those things because who's going to hold him to account at CNN? Come on. So there's another one. And there are many examples, but I'm not going to spend the whole show playing these examples. But I just have one more because it goes to the narrative that the media is now painting. It's a really rich narrative that Donald Trump has been a racist his whole life. He's just a monster. He's a horrible person. It's really kind of funny to see Joe and Mika make this argument every morning on Morning Joe when they were friends with him up until the point that he pointed out that Mika got a nose job and recovered down at Mar-a-Lago after they were nasty about him. But that's neither here nor there. Reality plays such a small role in Joe and Mika's lives. I hope their marriages work out. Third time's a charm for Joe. Second time's a charm for Mika. And they don't have to worry about meeting each other and falling in love while they're married to other people. They only have to worry about maybe one of them getting lost, staring into the mirror deeply in the morning. Oh, if only I could be with that person. That's, I think, the only competition they have. But in 2000, Donald Trump was contemplating, allegedly, a run for president. He wasn't, and he dismisses it in this clip, the rumor was that he was going to run for the Reform Party nomination. Wasn't going to run as a Democrat, wasn't going to run as a Republican. He happened to be a Democrat at the time. But he rejected the idea of running on the Reform Party, and he was asked by Matt Lauer why he would not run as a Reform Party, why he wouldn't join the Reform Party. And his answer was pretty interesting.
When you say the party is self-destructing, what do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined, a bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party.
What? We've been assured by the media that Donald Trump has been a racist his whole life. And all those black people that he was hanging out with, they were just for show. They were fake. They didn't really mean it. They were just in on the joke. Donald Trump had been a lifelong racist. My God, what about the Central Park Five? That's what we were told. Now, how could it be that in 2000, unprovoked, Donald Trump offers up that the problem with the Reform Party is that David Duke just joined and you don't want to be associated with it. He's not going to join the Reform Party because David Duke is in it and he doesn't want anything to do with the party of David Duke. How do you explain that? They, of course, don't explain that. They don't ever play that clip. That clip happened on NBC. MSNBC is owned by NBC. They have access to these things, the archives. They don't play them. They're not interested in playing them, and I'm surprised they haven't scrubbed them yet from the internet. But there it is. Unequivocal. Unabashed. I want nothing to do with David Duke. He is the problem. But you don't hear that. Instead, after the president's condemnation, Cory Booker. Poor Cory Booker. He's an ineffectual candidate. He really is a beta male. He might even be a zeta male. He called in to CNN. They're doing all these phone interviews now. They're going to give any Democrat the treatment they gave Trump in 2016. They're going to really try to build up any Democrat they possibly can, any way they can. And the reporter asked him, you know, the president pretty unequivocally just denounced racism. Do you welcome that? And Cory Booker's answer is, well, if you're an observer of a rash from a rational world, from some parallel universe where rationality wins out over ridiculous partisan crap and liberal spin, you'd be shocked by his answer. But you're from this one, so you're not going to be shocked by his answer. But let's listen to it anyway.
Senator, another thing that the president said in his remarks today, I'll read it to you. He said, in one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. That has been something, hearing that from President Trump has been something that I know a lot of folks have been waiting for and looking for, not just in the past 24 hours, but for a very long time. Do you welcome that acknowledgement?
No. Look, you know, reconciliation, the kind of healing that we need, starts first with someone standing up and saying, I've been wrong. I've made mistakes. What I've said before has been unacceptable. So you can't speak out of one side of your mouth about the need for us to come together as a country, but consistently do things that divide this nation and pit us against each other.
You can't do things that divide this nation and pit us against each other, like claiming that all Republicans are racist, like claiming that the people who've earned gobs of money are really thieves ripping off the masses and people, and it's unfair that they have money and you don't, and it's wrong, and the government needs to come in and correct it. You mean that kind of stuff, that kind of division, Corey? You're not cool with that kind of division? You need to find a reflective surface, my friend. If you're going to start dealing with division, maybe you should listen to yourself and your fellow travelers who are up there on the stage during these Democratic debates. And I don't blame you for not wanting to listen to them. They're a bit pedantic. They drone on and on and on, and they blame everybody under the sun for everybody else's problems. But I'm not really sure how that's unifying, Corey. Perhaps you could explain how that's unifying. But don't you love it? The president comes out. Yesterday, on Sunday, it was the president must come out and condemn racism. He has to condemn racism. The president comes out on Monday, condemns racism again, and the response is, that's not good enough. He must come out and beat himself in front of everybody. He must take off his shirt, take a cat of nine tails, and whip himself in the back and the front and the side. That is the only way. And of course, if he were to do that, then it would say, well, that's not enough either. It is an outrage that he exists. Because that's what the left's objection is to anybody who isn't of the left, that you exist. They don't like that you exist. They want to stop you from existing. If you notice the tone and tenor of the campaign thus far, there is no attempt whatsoever to reach out to anybody, to convince anyone, to change anyone's mind. They aren't even making a case for themselves. They're just accusing each other of not being woke enough. They're not going far enough. You're using Republican talking points, and that's an outrage. That sort of ridiculousness that we saw last week in those debates in Detroit. There is no attempt to reach out to the American people beyond the Democratic primary voter. It is, you are with us or you are our enemy. How do you get more divisive than that, Cory Booker? Of course, this was CNN. Nobody was going to ask him that. He just let it slide. No, I don't accept that. Moving on. He needs to come out and do exactly what I said he should do. And then, and only then, will I contemplate ever forgiving him, like he's the freaking Pope or something. It's kind of funny because this was kind of the reaction throughout the day from the left. It was never enough. It was never going to be good enough. This is why you should never, under any circumstances, apologize to the bloodthirsty liberal mob. The New York Times had an original headline for their newspaper today, their first edition. Right across the front page, it says, Trump urges unity versus racism. Well, the left went absolutely crazy over that headline. They went nuts over that headline. They could not accept that, oh my God, he's urging unity over racism? No, 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 no. That lets people know that the president spoke out against racism. And never does the left want to acknowledge that. They can't acknowledge that. Their game plan is that Donald Trump is a racist. So you get all these lefties running out there saying, this is ridiculous. How could the New York Times do such a thing in their headline? Nate Silver, who used to work at the New York Times until they realized that his 538 blog was a drag on money, got rid of him. He said on Twitter, tomorrow's New York Times print edition. Not sure Trump urges unity versus racism is how I would have framed the story. See, that's how it works. They frame the story. Instead of just telling the story, the New York Times headline is pretty milquetoast. It's right down the middle. It is what the president urged in his speech. Whether you believe him or not is irrelevant and should be irrelevant to the conveyance of news. But Nate Silver thought it was an outrage. And then, of course, in rides the shining glory of the progressive world, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She responded to Nate Silver's Twitter and sent it out to her army of flying monkeys, an army 5 million strong, and said, quote, let this front page serve as a reminder of how white supremacy is aided by and often relies upon the cowardice of mainstream institutions. Yes, AOC is accusing the New York Times of being part of the vast right-wing racist conspiracy. Well, that was unacceptable. Couldn't have that. Not the Queen. If the Queen comes out against you, you've got to do it. So the New York Times had a second edition. It's kind of weird. The headline changed. It's the only thing that changed on the front page of the New York Times. They printed a whole new edition for it. The new headline is Assailing Hate, But Not Guns. Assailing Hate, But Not Guns. Again, this was still not enough. And I love how the idea that, well, Donald Trump has to absolutely address our way or else it's not good enough. If he doesn't do what we want to do, what we want done, it is not good enough. So then the New York Times changed it again because the left wasn't happy. They went through three editions to try and get a headline that was acceptable to the liberal mob. You'll never get a headline that is acceptable to the liberal mob, but the New York Times sure doesn't want to not be invited to those cocktail parties. They don't want to be, they want to be the liners of bird cages in academia across the country. So they changed it again. Their new headline, Trump condemns bigotry, but doesn't call for major new gun laws. Doesn't call for major new gun laws. He called for a red flag law. That's kind of a major new gun law. But again, when you're trying to placate the mob, the truth is not your friend. Reality is not your friend. You have to throw them the meat, the tofu that they want. And if you're not throwing them the freshest tofu or whatever the hell tofu is made, then they're going to be upset. This still wasn't enough. There were people tweeting about how they were quitting and ending and stopping their subscription to the New York Times because, well, that's just the way it is. It's an outrage that anybody would ever say anything remotely, actually, factually accurate about Donald Trump. You can never, ever placate the liberal mob. Yashir Ali, he's a fairly honest reporter, guy of the left, but he's a fairly honest reporter. He writes for New York Magazine and Huffington Post. He tweeted out, New York Times can be an insular institution, particularly when it comes under criticism. But I have never received more texts from furious New York Times reporters and writers than I have tonight. They feel that their hard work is being sullied by a horrible headline. And they're all blaming Dean Baquet. He is the managing editor. He's a big boss over there. That was after the first headline, the Trump urges unity over racism, which is what the president did in his speech. That factually accurate passionless, distanced headline, just reciting what the president said, set off more people in the New York Times, as Yasher reports a lot on media, more people at the New York Times than anything else that Yasher has ever seen. How dare they report accurately? How dare they write a headline that factually conveys what happened yesterday? This is unacceptable. Of course, the New York Times is all the news that's fit to print. Unless, of course, the liberal mob doesn't like it, and then they can tweak it a little bit a couple of times till they stop saying mean things and tweeting mean things. Journalism is dead. It didn't die from any external source. It committed suicide slowly, a long, slow, and painful death right there for the whole world to see. Of course, they're only showing the whole world what they want them to see. And if you notice, everybody's been dispatched to El Paso. It's weird, right? There was a second shooting Saturday night in Dayton, Ohio. And nobody's been, as far as I can tell, no big-name anchors have been dispatched to Dayton, Ohio. Why is that? Oh, right. It's because the murderer in Dayton, Ohio was a man of the left. He was a fan of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and wanted socialism, supported socialism. A big fan of Antifa. All of that stuff, if that doesn't fit the liberal narrative, that can't be weaponized against Donald Trump. So they've decided that Dayton doesn't exist. I told you yesterday that by Wednesday, we will likely have forgotten about Dayton. Now, CNN has announced, God, CNN is a horrible organization. They're an embarrassment to journalism. CNN has announced that they're doing a town hall. Chris Cuomo is going to host this town hall. Called America Under Assault, The Gun Crisis, on Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. You can tell they're very serious about this issue. By the way, they're giving it a whole hour, and I'm sure it will be an absolute shit show. That's what happened last time they did one of these after Parkland, when they brought in Marco Rubio and Dana Loesch, and Jake Tapper sat there like a moron and allowed them to be attacked and threatened and accused of being responsible for the shooting, even by the sheriff, Scott Israel, down there. And then the next day we found out that it was actually the sheriff had people there that didn't do anything, and he was covering it up, he was hiding it, and he ended up getting fired over it. But CNN just let that go. They just let everybody scream at Dana Loesch and at Marco Rubio. I'm sure this is going to be just like that. They haven't announced yet, as far as I can tell, where this town hall will be held. I'm sure they're scrambling to find a place in El Paso, Texas. They could probably get a pretty big, decent venue in Dayton, Ohio, but I bet the phones aren't ringing there. Just call that a hunch, but I suspect the phones aren't ringing there. You imagine Chris Cuomo being the moderator of this thing? The guy is incredibly stupid. In fact, it runs in the family. His brother was on MSNBC, I think, which I think is cheating. Maybe it was CNN. It doesn't matter where it was. Listen to the smarter Cuomo talk about guns as if, well, there's no way to set this up. You've just got to hear it for yourself.
What's happening here is the president and the Republicans don't want to pass laws that affect guns, period. The president said even today, mental illness and hatred pulled the trigger, not the gun. How absurd is that? The trigger is on the gun.
Do you think he didn't realize it when he said it? Do you think, like, nobody interviewing him said, the trigger is on the gun. That's why it has to be pulled, Governor, and it didn't pull itself. No, they want to blame the inanimate object as if it's sitting there seducing people. It's just sitting there and you can hear it in your sleep. You wake up in the night. What is that noise? Who's calling me? It's me, the gun. We must go out and kill a whole bunch of people. There are like 300 to 400 million guns in this country, yet these mass shootings are exceedingly rare, despite what the left tells you. They count gang shootings as mass shootings. if the gun had, if the inanimate object, the gun, had this kind of power over people to seduce them to the dark side of the force, then these things would be happening, forget daily, they'd be happening hourly. Half the country would be dead inside of a week with all the number of guns that are around this country, if that's all it took. So once you realize that it can't possibly be the inanimate object that is a glorified but dangerous paperweight unless it is used for evil intent, you then have to begin to look somewhere else. Well, the Democrats don't want to look somewhere else. They want to get rid of that paperweight. They don't want you to have that paperweight. They don't want you to be able to talk freely and that ability to protect yourself. They don't want you to have those things. They want the ultimate control. And as long as you have any semblance of freedom, they can't have the amount of control that they want. So they want to take it away. When you point out that this inanimate object didn't do anything, well, they get upset. They get angry. When you offer other solutions, that maybe it's mental illness, because to do that kind of thing, you've got to be more than just consumed with hate. To walk into any place and shoot a bunch of strangers, you have to be more than consumed with hate. You have to be mentally unbalanced for whatever reason. But Democrats don't want to admit that it's mentally unbalanced. They just say that he was motivated by hate. Well, everybody hates something. They really do. You're a human being. There's something you hate, be it vegetables, be it whatever, be it your next door neighbor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't end up with violence. 99 times out of 10, it doesn't end up with violence, and it certainly doesn't end up with mass murder. So, since that makes these things exceptionally rare, maybe you want to look elsewhere for a rationale for it. Crazy seems to be one, but nobody wants to have that discussion on the left. They want to ban guns. Instead of dealing with the problem, the potential problem, they want to deal with the inanimate object. Moreover, they want to stop you from being able to have that inanimate object that you've never done anything with. You know somebody with a quote-unquote assault weapon. It hasn't been used to kill anybody. If you own it or if somebody you know owns it, it has not been, I guarantee you, unless they're in prison, it hasn't been used to kill anyone. Yet they want to ban it. Why? Because they think that maybe that thing is going to sing to you and you're going to have to use it to go kill, to placate it. It's going to convince you that the gun is going to somehow convince you to go and kill. They don't want to talk about the mental illness that goes along with somebody who says, I must eradicate a whole bunch of people I've never met and have never done anything to me. They don't want to talk about the mental health issue. Well, conservatives aren't above the fray in this either, by the way. The lieutenant governor of Texas has been around talking about video games. Video games. I think violent video games are this, that, and the other thing. And we got to look at violent video games. Look, if you got a 10-year-old kid, a 12-year-old kid, and you're letting them play Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty or whatever, that's really bad parenting for many, many reasons. But it's not because it's going to create a mass murderer. Those video games are played by tens of millions of people in this country alone, hundreds of millions of people around the world. They are not spurring people to murder. They can be a mild contributing factor, but nobody sits down perfectly well-adjusted and sane, and after playing Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead Revolver or whatever, playing that for 12, 24 hours, however long you want them to play it, nobody then gets up and goes, I must go and kill. There's something else at play here. You have to have a mental deficiency. You have to have mental problems to get to that point. So there's a lot of dodging and ducking going on. What I suspect will happen is we'll get some sort of feel-good measure, ultimately, because Congress is worthless. They won't actually deal with the real problems going on, and that's the disintegration of our culture and the glorification of violence. And you tell people that they should be victims. Victimhood is something to aspire to. And the mentally unstable want to be, you know, liked and loved and popular and be in with the in crowd. And they want to be victims, too. And then they take that stuff personally. And they're told, you know, you shouldn't be a victim. Don't be a victim. Empower yourself. Empower yourself. Well, if you're mentally off your rocker, how might you interpret that? It could go any number of ways, could it not? Could you not see it going completely horribly wrong? Of course, we're not allowed to say that. It's all got to be Republicans' fault. It's got to be the guns' fault. It's got to be the NRA's fault. And that's going to be the gist of what happens on CNN on Wednesday, because they are a propaganda wing of the Democratic Party. All right, let's shift gears to Dayton, since that's not getting very much attention these days. And by these days, I mean it's been 3 days. And the media is almost done with it. Almost done with it. The president is expected to go to Dayton and El Paso soon, so they're not going to quite be able to ignore the Dayton killer, the liberal, progressive, activist, Antifa Dayton killer. Can't do that yet until Trump is gone. Then they will. I guarantee it. It's already started to happen. The mayor of Dayton is a woman named Nan Whaley. Now, listen, it's a very short clip here. And at the end, she makes kind of a funny mugging face, like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, because she makes a joke about Donald Trump during President Trump's statement to the press on Monday. He confused and he said, Toledo, Ohio, instead of Dayton, Ohio. And the media went crazy. Oh, he doesn't even care enough to know the name of these cities. It's a mild screw-up, not that big of a deal. It happens to everybody. Barack Obama said that he saw the dead among the crowd. He saw our fallen heroes among the crowd. He also talked about Navy corpsmen. I mean, you could go on and on with all the things that they didn't actually talk about in the media that Barack Obama screwed up. But Donald Trump makes an error, and it's news, and it's the focus of liberalism. By the way, Joe Biden said that the massacres happened in Houston and in Michigan, neither of which were true. So Joe Biden screwed up much worse because he got the wrong state, Michigan. Not that big of a story. No big deal. Donald Trump says Toledo instead of Dayton. And it shows he doesn't care. Well, here's the mayor, Nan Whaley, talking about the president's visit, and she makes a joke.
He didn't tell me. He said sometime this week. I mean, I've heard that he's coming Wednesday, but I've not gotten a call. And, you know, he might be going to Toledo. I don't know.
And then she mugs for the camera like she's Bill Cosby in an old Pudding Pop commercial. Like, ooh, hey, hey. Isn't that nice? Now, there was no liberal outrage over that. Why? Because she's on their team. No liberal outrage. You can do whatever you want if you're a liberal. You get away with it. You got cover. You've got help. That's how the left works. It's double standards all the way. In addition to the mayor mugging for the cameras and trying to make a cutesy joke about the president coming to visit in a time of tragedy, MSNBC had a report. Now, this is so good. Of course, you know that the shooter in Dayton was a liberal activist. He was an Antifa fan. He was a fan of Bernie Sanders. He was a fan of a bunch of left-wing journalists and Media Matters. All these people he had been retweeting in his short, but not short enough, life. Well, MSNBC reporter Ben Collins, he's also an NBC News reporter, he appeared with Ali Velshi and Stephanie Ruhle, who is the dumbest person in cable news. And he was reporting on this guy's Twitter feed. Now, listen to the way that Ben Collins tries to downplay this guy's liberal activism, his progressive politics. He is desperate. He has to say it because it's true and it's out there, but he doesn't want to say it because it's true. And he doesn't want to put it out there more. And it's not like Velshi and Ruhle are particularly interested in these things. But listen to how they make this. Look, no big deal. It could mean any number of things. The guy in Texas used similar language to Donald Trump when talking about immigration. There really aren't that many, you know, words available when talking about immigration. So there's going to be some overlap. But Donald Trump gets the full blame for what happened down in El Paso. In Dayton, the guy is on board with the liberal agenda. MSNBC's ratings probably dropped because this guy is dead and they want to downplay it.
Now, yeah, you also have some information, new information on the Dayton shooter.
Yes. So the Dayton shooter, this is a very separate situation, a very separate idea. You know, authorities say they don't find any race motive in this thing at all. They don't haven't seen anything yet.
He killed his own sister.
There is a social media presence. He identified himself as part of the left. He had tweeted without, we don't know if it was an endorsement or what it was about, but he tweeted about Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
In a positive way.
Maybe in more neutral than anything.
Right.
And we don't know if there's any political affiliation. There's no manifesto. There's nothing about that. We do know from other reporting elsewhere that, you know, that hit in high school, he was viewed as a misogynist and had threatened women in the past. So that's something that is separate of right. any sort of political talk.
But he was kicked out of his high school.
Yes, that's correct. So that if... I'm not sure we can go down the political motivation yet with this thing.
Right.
If anything, we're looking at some sort of misogyny situation, but that's something we can look into later on.
We couldn't possibly look into. There's no indication whatsoever that his politics were involved with anything. He was involved with Antifa. He had tweeted favorably about socialism, that he prefers socialism. He says that when somebody tweeted out that, you know, the idea of a Harris and Warren co-presidency, he responded, nah, but only because Harris is a cop. Warren I'd happily vote for. And he says, I think Warren has a decent shot. Yeah, no, you couldn't possibly understand what this guy's... It could mean any number of things. Maybe he's a secret Trump supporter, and he's just supporting these leftist causes, the Media Matters of America, because he's trying to throw them off his scent. That seems perfectly believable, doesn't it? Or maybe it's that he's a lunatic, lefty, fringe, nut job monster who's now rotting in hell, and progressive politics helped contribute to that. I mean, we got to play their game, right? The odds are that he was a mentally unstable person, and that can explain a lot, including his politics. But for the left, if it were a Republican, if he had been retweeting a whole bunch of conservatives, well, that was very deeply into conservative politics. We don't know the politics of hate. He once retweeted somebody who 5 years earlier had tweeted something that we've deemed to be hateful, and so we blame the president. Move on from there. This is Mitch McConnell's fault. This is everybody. Paul Ryan's. It's Mitt Romney's fault. We'll blame anybody and everybody with an R after their name. But because he was on their team, well, it could go either way. We don't really know about his politics. We can't make that conclusion. How dare you even suggest such a thing? We must move on. CNN.com. It's always kind of weird how it works out being on the website and not so much on the TV, but they have a story. It was posted very late in the day. It was updated at 11:04 p.m. I believe it was posted at 10:30 p.m. originally yesterday, though they finally addressed this. Their headline, Dayton shooter appeared to have leftist Twitter feed. It appeared to. Can't really tell. It's all a bunch of Antifa crap and calling for socialism, calling for violence, and, you know, that could go either way. A whole bunch of lefties. So a Twitter account that appears to belong to the Dayton mass shooter retweet extreme left-wing and anti-police posts, as well as tweets supporting Antifa or anti-fascist protesters. Don't you love that? They're always very, very specific. They make sure Antifa is anti-fascist. They never, you know, notice that Antifa is fascists. They just named themselves Antifa. Like, suddenly if the Klan named itself the NAACP, the media would just go, well, what happened to the Klan? We don't know what happened to the Klan. But this new NAACP part two, that's pretty neat. No. But when it's on the left, they're down with it. The most recent tweet on, and they give the Twitter account, it's since been suspended, so it doesn't matter, was on August 3rd, the day of the shooting, when he retweeted a post saying, "Millennials have a message to Joe Biden, to the Joe Biden generation. Hurry up and die." He also retweeted messages supporting Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. The Twitter user's bio reads, "He, him," because they always give their preferred pronouns because they're insane. "He, him, anime fan, metalhead, leftist, I'm going to hell and not coming back." And in one tweet, he used the hashtag Hail Satan. Now, what could possibly be drawn of this? We'll never know. We couldn't possibly know. James Hodgkinson was pretty unambiguous about why he hated Republicans and wanted to kill them all on that baseball field. But the media said, "We can't jump to any conclusions. We could. We have to look into this further." And then they didn't actually look into it any further. They dropped it because they knew what they would find. They knew what was there. So this is the way of the left. They continue. Hours before the Daytona shooting, the Facebook account liked several tweets about a shooting in El Paso, Texas, including one supporting gun control and others that called the El Paso shooting suspect a terrorist and a white supremacist. The account also retweeted posts against ICE agents, including one that said, quote, "These people are monsters," and multiple posts condemning police and supporting Antifa protesters who often use violent tactics. Isn't that nice that CNN is finally, after months, more than a year really, of publicly on air defending Antifa as, you know, just standing up to fascism, they're now admitting on their website around 11 o'clock at night that Antifa uses violent tactics. Didn't make it to air, but still, it's a start. Baby steps. There were also many tweets of selfies, photos with a friend, and ordinary memes and non-political content. It was a nut job. He is now dead. But MSNBC says, we don't really know what this guy's politics was. His tweets, you know, supporting Bernie and Elizabeth and socialism, those can be read in so many different ways. We couldn't possibly begin to glean any meaning off of it. These people are as corrupt as the day is long. Speaking of evil and corrupt as the day is long, the left took to the streets again in Kentucky. They wanted to go after, this time they're going after Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell fell the other day and broke his shoulder. For those of you that think, well, Mitch is old, he's got to... No, Mitch McConnell had polio. One of his legs is messed up from polio. That kind of happens. The left routinely mocks him for this because they're tolerant and they care about people with disabilities. Mitch McConnell doesn't milk his disability, which again makes him an anathema to the left. So he's at home recovering with a broken shoulder. Bunch of lefties in Kentucky know where he lives, and they went to his house. Apparently they were led by somebody named Chanel, a really classy woman. She's a girthy woman of color. You'll hear her on these videos. She's a lovely human being who can't suffer a stroke soon enough. Listen to this little bit first.
You want to make it down there a little bit further?
Yeah, I don't want to get shot, though.
I don't either. Shit. But I'm thinking we good. I wish a motherfucker would tackle me. I'm worried about it. Right. I am not trying to break my shoulder like Mitch. I wonder how that whole surgery for, what was his, right, his tongue or some shit? Right. This bitch got beat up by his neighbor. Now I can't see nothing this
somebody
way.
Somebody out there with some booty dolls in these motherfuckers. That's what I'm hoping.
What?
Hopefully some motherfucker out there with some voodoo dolls in these bitches.
Yeah, you know somebody is. That's probably what it is. Just stab the motherfucker in the heart, please.
Now, they sound like lovely people, don't they? They sound like they're educated to about a third grade level. They're incredibly stupid because they're progressive activists, and that's how they roll. They're also incredibly evil, and I don't use that lightly. And you say, well, Derek, you made a stroke joke about her. Yeah, if you go to somebody's house and say that they should be stabbed in the heart, and you're screaming, and I wish bad things on you. This is in the night, by the way. They're trying to disrupt the whole neighborhood. They're trying to lose friends and influence people. They're disgusting human beings. So, yes, if and when bad things befall them, I will not shed a tear over it at all. They get what they deserve. They reap what they sow. They were there for quite some time, live streaming it on Facebook. Why didn't Facebook stop it? Why hasn't Twitter taken these things down? Because they're on the same team. You can go and harass Mitch McConnell all you want at his home. You can go and disrupt his neighbors. That's part of the plan. They think that if they're big enough jerks in front of Mitch McConnell's house that they keep the neighbors' families up all night, that the neighbors will somehow be mad at Mitch McConnell rather than the dozen morons standing out in front of the house screaming like idiots. Here's a little bit more.
We're at McConnell's house. This bitch think he's about to get some rest. Not if the children that you're kidnapping can't get any rest. Not if families who are getting murdered can't get any rest. Fuck Mitch! Ditch Mitch! Ditch Mitch! This is this bitch's house. He's in there nursing his little broken arm. He should have broke his little raggedy, wrinkled ass neck.
Ditch me!
Come outside, man!
Don't you just want to see bad things befall these people? I mean, horrible things, awful things. What is wrong with people? Yet this is the left. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that she's some sort of Democratic Party official, that she's somehow associated with a campaign of Democrats. This is who they are. This is their true nature, harassing people at home. If this had happened to Cory Booker, if this had happened to Elizabeth Warren, if this had happened to Kamala Harris or Joe Biden, there would be media outrage. But because it happens to Mitch McConnell, I mean, he's got it coming to him. He's a Republican, after all. This is why I think that the right has to start adopting the tactics of the left. Hold them to their own. This won't be condemned by leftists. So they have to be made to live under these rules. They deserve it, and they deserve much, much worse. And, oh, by the way, yesterday it was announced that Paul Ryan, remember he was attacked by the lefty in his own yard because he couldn't stand his politics, broke six ribs. Rand Paul had to have a piece of his lung removed as a result of that. The damage was permanent. It didn't get any better, had to have a piece of his lung removed. The left celebrated that yesterday. Yeah, they really honestly did. They are disgusting human beings, if you can call them human beings. But that's where the left is. That's who the left is. You want to see where the left is going? I promised this yesterday. This is comedy. What you're about to hear is 6 minutes long. It is the opening of the Democratic Socialists of America convention. I could have played a whole bunch of different clips from it, but I thought the whole thing in its entirety let you know just how crazy these people are and maybe motivate people to see where the Democratic Party is going, and they'll be there very soon, and how sick the liberal mind has become. It really is a perverse maze that leads to a void. It is, you laugh at it, but then you think everything you hear in this and all the things that make you laugh, you hear kind of echoed on CNN, on MSNBC, and on the Democratic Party's debate stage. So while laugh at it, it is funny, recognize that these people are getting closer to having power in this country, and they're serious about this stuff. They're not only going to police themselves, they want to use the power of government to force you to live the way that they're talking about. So laugh and then recognize the realities of this horror that they would like to impose on us.
Safe, keeping each other secure, and making sure that everybody is able to fully participate in this convention. The first thing that we have to talk about is accessibility. We have a lot of disabled comrades, and a lot of those are invisible disabilities. You don't know who it is that is having a more difficult time navigating this space, and this space was not created with all of their needs in mind. So it's up to us to modify that space to make sure that everybody is able to move in the ways that they need to move. What this means is that, first of all, in this room, I see that no one's clapping for me. It could be because I'm not engaging, but it also is because everyone's doing this. And that's really important because those loud bursts of noise, even though this is a noisy space, when we can do something like reducing that, that's really important. So please don't clap, shoot up these. In terms of movement, right, you'll notice that a lot of these floors are connected by elevators. Those elevators are very slow. If you are able to use the stairs that are immediately outside, and even better, if you're able to go across the way to use the stairs in the corners, that's going to free up space for people who have to rely upon the other forms of transportation. If you can use the stairs, use the stairs. If you are able to use the escalators, use the escalators. If you need the elevator, the marshals are going to be trying to do our best to make sure that access to that is reserved for people. And additionally, with the noise issue, like avoid hissing, avoid waving banners, right? Because there's all sorts of things. If you don't know what to do, show up these, right? I'm sure there's lots of ways that we can communicate to each other without needing to rely on something that's going to hurt somebody else. We have quiet rooms that are available. There's a range of options of these, right? On Piedmont floor, on 7, there's one that has video but no sound. If you still want to be able to observe the convention, but the sound is an issue. There's also on Piedmont 8, a completely quiet room. One thing to note there, please don't go into that space with anything that's like an aggressive scent, for instance, right? Because that's going to be difficult for people. And whether, you know, perfumes or anything like that. So in addition to this collective security, we need to be working on consent, right? The principle of collective security is we don't want to put people in stressful situations that they don't consent to, right? And we have to be accountable to each other that our actions might have negative consequences for other people. So first and foremost, use the proper doors, right? Don't try and exit through these or any other sort of like fun shortcuts you see. We really need to keep those closed. You have to have your credentials at all time. We're not trying to be jerks, but there are right-wing infiltrators who are trying to get in here, and the way that you enable us to keep them out is by making sure it's very easy for all the marshals to see those. We're also talking about de-escalation, right? Because people are going to have different experiences of things that some others might think is normal heatedness, and I think in some of that there's an inevitability there, but it's going to be really traumatic for people if we're not making an affirmative effort to de-escalate each other and de-escalate ourselves, right? And we have marshals who are going to help you do that. If you are having a conflict with somebody, feel free to step away, right? We're going to make sure that you can get out of that space. Let somebody else step away if they need to step away, right? And generally, try to be chill, right? Take a deep breath. And feel better before you say anything. We also have an info security, right? This is really, really important. Please don't tweet photos of your credentials. That would be very bad. Please don't share your credentials with other people. If you have friends here that you would like to be here and they don't have credentials, don't let them in. Don't make exceptions for those people because it makes it really hard to take care of the people. Don't really talk to anybody who doesn't have a credential, especially if they claim to be from the press. You have no idea who that person is. Please do not talk to anybody who identifies themselves as a member of the press without having credentials. Don't talk to cops. Don't talk to MAGA assholes. We're almost there. Just But thank you. We are going to be visited tomorrow by some MAGA protesters. Is there anybody here who's done abortion clinic escort work? Awesome. It's a very similar operation to that, right? With abortion clinic escort work, you don't want to engage with the MAGAs. You don't want to engage with them at all because we really, the priority is getting people in and out safely without them being harassed by anybody. So by you engaging with them, you are putting danger and stress on your comrades who didn't consent to that. By all means, don't talk to cops if there are cops there for any reason at all, right? And if you do see someone talking to cops, let the marshals know. The last thing is, you know, we have a tough job here. You have a tough job here. And the other tough thing here is making sure that everybody's voice is heard. I know that the folks up front are going to do their best to make sure everyone's voice is heard during the debates. Our marshals are going to be running microphones. They're going to be holding on to those microphones. And please, like, do your best to respect that and communicate with us if, you know, you need the mic held differently for you for any kind of reason. But please let them make sure that everyone has access to those. And we take it low and slow in terms of getting everybody access to those. And please let us know if you have any kinds of conflicts, any problems about mobility, any problems about finding what you need, any problems or conflicts with other people, or anybody who you see without credentials that you think we should have our eyes on. Please let us know. We are safe and we are strong because there's power in collective work, and that's exactly what we're doing here. And we're going to rely on you to make that happen. So I'm very happy to be working with you on this project, and I hope everyone has a great convention.
By the way, the thing he was talking about with applause, he was doing up twinkles, jazz hands, essentially. Do not applaud, because the noise could be triggering to a whole bunch of mutants who haven't seen the sun and have never kissed a girl. So do your up twinkles. These people... They really want power. What's scary is they want absolute power, and they're undeterred by their own mutant status. They're going to keep trucking along. Scary, scary things. We are out of time for today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. You can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. Otherwise, I'll be back here tomorrow with another exciting episode. Have a great Tuesday.
The president said, even today, mental illness and hatred pulled the trigger. Not the gun. How absurd is that? The trigger is on the gun.